Good afternoon, everybody. Is everybody hot in here? I thought it was just us. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully we can turn the temperature. Thank you. Because we've seen some live streaming going on about the heat in here, so we'll see what they can do for us. Can everybody hear me okay? I know every time I've gone to some of these sessions, I don't quite hear everybody, so. A couple of people over there? Okay. Perfect. Okay, well, we certainly want to thank you for attending this session. It's entitled Enterprise Social Media, Five Emerging Trends. And I have to admit, along with my co-presenter, Luis.
I think your necklace is making noises.
My necklace is making noises. I've not heard that before. Is this the time to get a new one that's bigger? All right, please hold. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Oh, great choice. That's all I need. Photography messes with the microphones, and now I get to admit this is my first South by Southwest, and I'm happy to be here along with my co-presenter, Luis Benitez. This is quite an exciting set of things going on here at South by, and we are happy to be here to talk to you about some of the trends that we see. So to go ahead and get us started, I thought it would be good to introduce ourselves. And I am the queen of everything electronic breaking, so bear with us. So my name is Heidi Ambler, and I am here with my esteemed colleague, Luis Benitez. And we both work at IBM, and we're part of the social software set of tools and technologies that we deliver to the marketplace. And we sit in the product management organization. So our daily jobs, we spend a lot of time internally driving products, features, functions, negotiating with the development teams, and there goes my sound. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. And so we spend a lot of time working with our development organization and building the right technologies and tools that we see that are needed within the marketplace. And the other side of our jobs is spending time evangelizing our technology, our software, and as a result, we talk to a lot of customers, partners, analysts, and things of that nature. And so the types of trends that we were going to focus on here are a result of a lot of what we do on our daily basis within our roles at IBM. And so one of the things we wanted to point out is that many of you here have had a lot of knowledge within the social space, probably more so than many conferences. And so as a result, you can imagine trying to get this down to sort of five top things was a bit difficult. So some of them are generalized categories, and what we're going to do is basically talk you through these trends and give you some data points that we have found in our everyday workings and sort of some of the supplemental information that we see. And then also what we're going to do is spend some time in giving you some recommendations. The other thing we want to do is also let you know that we will be posting this content on SlideShare following the session. Luis here is going to be tracking via Twitter for us, and we'll try to incorporate some of the questions that we have coming in as well as we can throughout. You can see our contact information, and if you want to pull down the slides afterwards and contact us, all our details are there. You can follow us on a variety of individual and our team blogs as well. And of course, if you do tweet, we appreciate tweets that look like this. So hopefully you guys will get a lot out of this session, and we do appreciate any feedback that you can give us so that we can continue to make the content even better. So as I mentioned, we're going to focus on five trends, and these are five trends that we see emerging, especially as we still are talking to customers and clients about social business and what it means to them, and just sort of what's happening in this space as well. And so we've broken it down, again, into these five sections. And what we're going to do is they kind of build on each other a little bit. So the first one, and we're going to kind of go in between both myself and Luis to trade off on these, we're going to talk about reshaping the corporate culture. Culture is a very important part of adopting social software within companies of small and large sizes. So we're going to spend a few minutes to talk to you about some of the things we see happening in that particular trend. Then we're going to talk about how to use this inside your organizations. Again, size isn't really applicable here. It really is big or small. So keep that in mind throughout the things that we talk about, because we really did try to make this generic enough to apply to both sides. And then what we want to do is sort of take a little bit of a shift and talk a bit about the technology and some of the things we see that are important in the open standards space, because that really drives some of the technology that allows you to adopt these both in and outside your organization. Many of you here at the conference have seen and heard many mobile sessions, so what would be a session without talking about mobility? So we'll spend a few minutes on that as well. And then we'll sort of try to tie it all up in sort of one of the major trends we see is really how do you map this back to characteristics that are going to really allow you to increase your revenue in your companies again. Because really at the end of the day, you want these technologies and tools to be able to really help you do things you couldn't do before. And in theory, that's what you really want to do at the end of the day for your business. You want to bring in more money and bring in more revenue. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So I'm going to kick off the first trend talking about sort of how we see social technology causing a change in the corporate culture. And again, although I use the term corporate here, I'm really just referring to companies of all sizes. And so what we really see is this is something that you really need to have in mind when you're looking at adopting social technologies, tools, applications, whatever your favorite buzzword is, because it really does come down to the adoption factor and sort of what the culture is going to accept and not accept. So I'm going to dive a little bit on that. So when you look at social media tools that are out there in the marketplace, there's a whole collection, and every day this slide gets bigger and bigger, and you have all these favorite tools and things you're using. But each one, independent of itself, is a little bit like a silo, because they do have different expectations around the behavior that you're using within some of these tools. The things you do in Twitter may not be the same as the things you do in some of your other tools like Facebook, for instance. Some cases they may be similar, but each one sort of has some different expectations. So when we talk to executives that are trying to think about this, we want them to think about not only the technology, but the things they need to do in their organizations. And this is one that kind of freaks them out a little bit, because they see all these tools in the consumer space and they just can't sometimes grasp what it means to them and what they should do with these things. When they know they need to use it, they're just not sure what they need to do. And so one of the things we really talk about with them is thinking about marrying the technology with the culture piece. And the good thing is that in many of our conversations, so I've been part of the social space at IBM even before we had technologies, when we were still part of research and development. And I remember the first time going to a financial institution, that's not a fun place to go, and trying to tell them they need to be more social. They looked at me like I was nuts. And it really is something that they just weren't ready for 5 or 6 years ago. But what we're starting to see is everyone, the hype around it. CEOs are now thinking, okay, I need to do this. Now, the key thing is, what do I do about it? But the thing that's really nice to see is that they're much more open to having this conversation, whereas before we probably, we did sort of get the, come talk to us later, we don't really need this right now. A lot of them were afraid of bringing in the consumer-based tools in their companies and what would happen using those tools. You know, this is the same song and dance we've heard for quite some time. The refreshing piece to this is now we're really starting to see data out there in the marketplace that's showing that these CEOs are really ready to listen and to look at really what's in it for them, what's the benefits, and what are the things that I now need to be thinking about. So now they know they need to use it. Now what they're really struggling for is sort of how do I take that and define what it means for me to do within my organization. And I think the other interesting piece is that as Luis and I were looking for data to sort of support some of these trends that we saw, is a lot of the data is actually showing that much of these results are clear. We're now being able to show data and data that sits outside in the market to CEOs and executives to see that these results are clear and they are showing changes and how they can take social tools and actually see some benefit associated with them. And so a couple of them that really come to the forefront at the top here is really helping them gain exposure in their markets. You know, CEOs are interested in making money, right? So they're looking for how are they going to take these tools into new spaces, and what's going to make a change for them. The other thing is that they're really striving to get that closer relationship with their customers, and a lot of them are starting to see the tools being used to take those and bring their customer communities together. The closer you are with your customers, many of us know, the faster you're going to get the feedback, the faster you're going to be able to turn around, the more agile you're going to be in hopefully being able to get new things out to the market, new ideas, and that gives you a first mover momentum. So a lot of these CEOs are now finding some real positive information out there in the marketplace that's showing them things that they can start to latch on to as they start to embark on these new types of ways in which they want to work. The other thing that's interesting is that when you talk about the culture, you know, the greatest strategy outlined by any CEO or executive, you know, the important thing that they all know and realize that no matter how good the strategy is, you got to have the people behind it. Otherwise, as the slide says here, culture eats strategy for lunch. So if the people aren't behind you, and this is where, again, this is a slightly different shift than when we saw, you know, several years ago, you know, people in, you know, rolling out traditional software tools like an email system or something like that. This isn't, that didn't really cause a huge amount of change in the organization in a way. This really is. You're becoming more transparent. You're sharing information in different ways. You're really exposing all the attributes that decisions that are made and really trying to use things like crowdsourcing to get better ideas faster. And the techniques and the technology is also really starting to evolve in how things can be done in a much different way. So again, this is again where we talk to them about don't forget about the culture things you need to think about. So when you talk about changing the culture, the thing to take away is really focus on the right-hand side of this slide because this is really where we see the people that have embraced it have been able to get through the hurdle here of really being able to show that cultural shift and the change in way in which their employees are working on a day-to-day basis. When you're asking them to use social tools, map that to things that make sense to them within the principles and values of what you set up for them to do in their day-to-day work, for instance. When new employees come in, you want to explain what you're doing with social technologies. The interesting part is that many of the people that are coming into companies today, especially those from, you know, colleges and universities, they know how to use this stuff better than we do because this is what they do. This is how they work in their lives every day. Whether it's how they work in school or how they communicate with their friends, they expect this stuff to be there. So in a way, they're probably the easiest ones to train on how to use this, but you set expectations around what you expect and how those tools should be used. And this is really where you want to, in some cases, you know, in our case, we have a very large company, you know, 400 plus thousand employees. So the span of people that have proficiency in these tools, there's still a gap in some cases. So you want to give them coaching. You want to provide them mentoring because, again, if this is something you're going to actually use and you want to see it deployed absolutely everywhere, you need to do it to all, you need to focus on all the employees, just not the tech-savvy set of folks in the organization. So you want to keep these things in mind when you're pushing this from the, if you're doing sort of a top-down approach and trying to really get everybody to embrace this. And one thing that I thought was interesting, I don't know if any of you saw the Top Chef talk that was over at the convention center earlier this morning. Totally loved that show. And I was really intrigued because this is one of the things that they actually called out because they had something called Last Chance Kitchen, which they basically, when a chef got kicked off, they had a next chance to go back and fight to come back into the competition. But when you went to go see them pair off, it was only done through live streaming. So you had to go to the internet to watch this. You had to use social media. They're totally interactive. And they really encourage this at a company level at Bravo. So they said that this was one of the things that really made this successful is that everyone bought into it at the company and really helped achieve the overachieve the expectations that they set. And so that's a really good tangible example of where you really want to get everybody involved. And when you do, I think you'll find, like they did, that the results are definitely going to exceed your expectations. So one other example I'll pull out that I had prepared prior to knowing that Top Chef was going to be here is an example with TD Bank. So many of you have probably heard of this organization.
What's interesting about TD Bank is that they made a technology decision. But what was interesting is that what they partnered with that technology decision was, how are they going to roll this out at a cultural level within their organization? And they actually created a high-ranking position. It's called a VP of Social Media and Digital Communications. Their role, their job, is to make sure that these social tools are used, that the community is understanding how to use them. Again, cultivating those experiences for those that are tech-savvy and those may not be, to really get everybody engaged. And one of the things that they really wanted to do is they wanted to embrace this concept of transparency. So a really good example of where the two shall come together, so to speak, is that TD Bank, you know, all the banks right now are pretty competitive. They're looking for what they can do different with their competition. How are they going to make themselves unique? Well, they decided they were going to open their banks on Sundays. Well, all hell broke loose, right? Because no one wants to work another day, and that's their weekend. So what they did is they went to their social media channels. They used this technology inside their organization. And what they did is they were able to capture all the information from the employees and come up with a program that really allowed them to do this. And what they've seen are tremendous value points and benefits, because they're increasing their revenue because now they're open another day in the week. The interesting part to this is that the culture of people that were using these tools, it gave them a voice. It gave them the ability to have creativity in solving the problem. And they, it was a great example of working hand in hand with the executives. So I really think this was an interesting example. It showed that they are really understanding that you need to do two things, not just the technology. And as such, they put someone in charge of helping to change the culture. And then secondly, it's a great example of, you know, getting the information and the wisdom from the employees. The more the employees are bought into it, the better off they're going to be and the better off the company is in the long term. So it was a really pointed example here. So the flip side of the opportunity is that, you know, CEOs are definitely interested in this. They're seeing a whole bunch of stuff out there. They're really not sure how to sort of weed through it. Some of them really speak to them. The good thing about social that I say is it's great because it's really flexible. The bad thing about social is it's really great. It's flexible, right? So there's no one-size-fits-all approach, right? And so there's a level of creativity that can come into play here, and sometimes that drives executives a little crazy, right? They want the one or two, three things that they can go implement immediately and see results. And so some of those things we just showed on the previous slide map back to that. The interesting part is that we see that some of the other corresponding executives aren't quite ready for this. So that's an opportunity for us as folks that are in this space to really help people think of different, new, and creative ways. So another area to focus on are the chief marketing officers. They really, in this particular study that we pulled out, they're really not prepared. So there's a lot of opportunity to help these CMOs try to figure out new ways to use these tools. So lots of things to think about. So I'm going to wrap up here with a couple of recommendations on this cultural trend. A couple of things to keep in mind. Provide your employees some guidelines. Now, I don't mean give them 55 pages, like a T's and C's, a terms and conditions, you know, legal agreement. What I mean is weave this into something that is meaningful to them and for you as an employer. So one of the things we do at IBM is we create something called our business conduct guidelines. It's our expectation of what the company expects from us when we interact with clients and executives of all kinds, partners, customers, you name it. And we've now appended to that our social computing guidelines. So believe it or not, when we turned this stuff off, turned it on in IBM, we didn't give a whole lot of guidance. We really wanted to see what was going to happen. And, you know, we really did see this viral adoption. And we started to give people a mechanism to have a voice. They wanted to extend that voice externally. And so this is where we did feel like there was some level of guidance that needed to be provided. So if you're interested, we do provide it off our website. And again, if you pull down the slides, all these links will be live. And a lot of our clients use it as a template. So, again, it's a quick way to kind of give you that sort of framework to work with. Think about the social business etiquette. Again, what are you expecting from your employees? We talked about sort of these siloed apps in the consumer space, but when you start to use these tools, think about what is the expectation you want to set with them. The other interesting piece, when you talk about this as a cultural level thing, it's really this marriage of IT and line of business slash executives, right? It's no longer just IT makes a technology decision, flips a switch, and everybody's up and running with their new tool of choice. This really needs to be something that is a partnership to really make it work and be successful. And this is really, again, where that TD Bank example is a good reinforcing factor to that. Think about when you're ready to do this, recruit those early adopters. Go after those tech-savvy folks that know how to use these technologies. If you create a position like a community manager, you know, they can help cultivate other people, train your employees. You know, not everybody is as savvy as we think they are. They're getting much better. They're definitely getting out there. So there's definitely much more value I think you can obtain in a shorter amount of time. One thing the CEOs do look at when they look at these tools, and this is probably why they shy away from anything consumer-based, which is not surprising, is that you really need to think about compliance and governance. You know, this is information that's now becoming your intellectual property within the organization. You need to treat it as such, so don't be posting stuff up on, you know, public sites where everyone can take your competitive information and do whatever they want with it. So I think that's why these CEOs are really starting to see some benefits within the consumer space and some of these other companies that have really started using these. So it does come into the conversation. So when you do talk to those folks, you know, I recommend that you try to weave that into the discussion. It'll really sort of help sort of, keep, you know, turn the, sign the deal. And then the last one is that, you know, encourage them to be agile and adaptive, right? This is not like your master framework you create and you shall succeed. You have to be agile. You have to learn what works in your organization. Set some goals, create the things you think you want to be measuring, but then be receptive to the feedback that you're getting. And again, using the set of people in the organization to do that is really where I think you'll see the benefits. So, with that, I am now going to turn it over to Luis, who's going to talk about our second trend.
So to transition this, actually, can you hear me? Okay. Emily Lyman had a great question. So CEOs are finally realizing that they need to be social, but how do they take these tools to and use them within the culture? So this actually is a great leeway into trend number two. We're actually seeing more and more companies deploying social insight and use that as a test bed. And trying to kind of foster this culture of sharing and trying to move away from like the typical collaboration platforms that are typically centered around email, right? And so taking the concept of having the content kind of locked down in your email and in your inbox and actually making that more open and therefore becoming more transparent and more nimble as you do that. Recently, we had a paper published in, well, not we, but somebody published a paper in Information Week, and it was interesting because they were kind of showcasing how companies are deploying social. And so for customers or companies that don't feel quite, you know, comfortable, you know, engaging externally in the consumer web, they're actually going out, deploying this internally. And it's not only a test bed that they're doing it just for fun or just to see how it works or just to play with it, but they're actually seeing real value come from this. So they're actually seeing improvements in how employees collaborate, efficiency, locating people, and of course, idea generation. So leveraging ideation systems to crowdsource and accelerate product innovation. And a couple of months ago, we also did a survey. We asked, I think about 5,000 IT professionals across various industries, and we asked them, you know, we know social is huge. We know social is something that a lot of companies are doing. How are you doing it? And what was interesting was that the majority of the people that are deploying social, 43% said they're doing it internally first. So I thought this was, you know, very, very interesting. Of course, it's only 2% higher than the next answer, which is 41% for the external crowd. But I think it really kind of validates that a lot of companies are doing this. And to further validate this, we can see that enterprises are actually increasing the amount that they're willing to spend in this. So not only are they playing with this, they're committed to this, to the fact that from 2010, where they only spent $500 million in social software, they're going to go up to $3.5 billion in 2016, so just 4 years from now. And so that's significant growth. And what I wanted to do was, all right, so we understand that companies are using this. There's many tools out there. There's blogs, there's wikis, there's forums. So how do you pick the right tool, right? How do you pick the right thing to bring in? Do you want to do microblogging or status updates? Do you want to do kind of like social bookmarking? And so I think what it really comes down to is the culture again. And one of the things that we've noticed at IBM and, of course, all the companies is that users appreciate choice. As they create communities within the enterprise, you know, some communities, they tend to be very centered around forums, while others, they tend to be very centered around blogs or real-time editing and wikis or whatever the case may be. So I think, you know, you really have to evaluate the culture, like Heidi was saying, and then really understand, all right, what are my users already engaging with externally? Are they engaging in systems like Twitter? Are they engaging in systems like Facebook or LinkedIn? And why are they engaging there? And so that way, they'll give you a good understanding as to what you can use. Rachel Happ, or Happy, from the Community Roundtable, she did a study that was published last year, and she was actually asking companies how they were using social media within the enterprise. And so what was interesting was that there was no, like, I don't think there was like a clear winner. You know, of course, it looks like marketing was kind of like the highest use, but I think there's other areas where, you know, you can see here collaboration, product innovation, IT support, etc. To actually validate that point, you know, we see a lot of companies implementing programs called Bring Your Own Device or Bring Your Own Computer, BYOD. And so they're actually leveraging social media to implement these programs. You know, instead of deploying and setting out the IT department to fully support, you know, the new devices like iPhone and iPads and Android devices, they're just, you know, letting people do it and then let them support themselves through social media, right? Use status updates, use the microblogging capabilities or forums to find the answers that you need, and that way we can still kind of retain control, right? Because we'll talk more a little bit about this later, where IT is losing control as more and more employees decide to bring their own devices and their own computers in the enterprise. And that's how we do it at IBM. At IBM, we're free to bring on our own machines, as you can tell here. But we're really kind of like on our own. So we have to figure out how do we deploy our VPN, how do we set up our email system, et cetera. So something to take into consideration. Now, let's bring this to like a real world example. So I don't want to just talk about IBM here. Lowe's, hardware store, retail store. We don't have this in Puerto Rico. I'm from Puerto Rico, by the way. So I only have Home Depot. I don't have Lowe's. But this is a very interesting example. They deploy social media internally. They wanted to get their retail workers to better collaborate with each other. They were looking at one of the issues that they had was that the stores were just not talking to each other. They weren't learning from each other. And so if they were, it was because a retail employee was kind of vocal and decided to talk to his manager, and then his manager talked to his manager and so forth, but it was a very slow process. So what happened was this employee, she figured out a way to sell paint trays. And so this may not sound very cool, but the example I think is very interesting. So she set up a demo, and when she did this, I guess customers were able to see how fantastic this paint tray was. And so the trays were just flying off the shelves. And here's the problem. She could only get, I think, like 3 or 4 paint trays in through her stock management system. So she wanted to sell them, and she was able to sell them, but she couldn't get them in from corporate. So she went in, she posted a status update, and she asked, you know, open to the public within Lowe's, of course, how do I get more paint trays? And so people came back and said, how are you selling them? You know, we're not selling them. We're like, what are you doing? And she said, oh, well, this is what I did. Here's the demo that I set up, and here's how people are interacting and seeing how the tray is so much better than any other paint tray ever invented. And so when everybody else started implementing the idea, they were actually able to capture $1 million in additional revenue just in one particular quarter. And this is just one example. So as you expand this and you start provoking serendipity within the enterprise, you can actually see how this is going to drive significant business value to your organization. So let me close up this particular trend here. So recommendations. As you go out and you work with your own customers, or as you decide to deploy social inside, one of the things that we really encourage that you do is integrate. So just like in real estate, where everything's about location, 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 I truly believe that with social media, it's all about integration, integration, integration. Especially when you're doing this internally to your employees and workers, because maybe they're already overworked. You know, they have too much to do, too many things to learn about. So they're not going to spend the time to just go out to yet another silo, right? They're not going to spend the time to just launch another browser, to go to yet another machine, to use yet another system that may have probably a different username and password. So what you really want to do is really integrate, and not just integrate, but really focus on bringing social to the end user. So don't just build a system and wait for them to come. Rather, bring it to them, and then they'll use it, perhaps even without even knowing that they're using it, right? So to prove this point, at IBM, when we integrated our social platform with our intranet portal, we immediately saw 100% usage increase. So usage doubled almost immediately. And of course, this is pretty obvious, right? When most employees open their laptops in the morning or their computers in the morning, they open the browser, and it's usually hard-coded to open the company intranet, right? So at that point, everybody within IBM was using this. And so we, of course, not only integrated with our portal, we have our own mobile app as well, so that users that are mobile, in fact, 50% of our employees are mobile, so it's really advantageous for them to have social in the device that they live and die. And speaking of live and die, there's a lot of people that live and die in email, and they live and die in spreadsheets and presentations and documents, right? So those people, you're going to have a really hard time convincing to go to another system, like a social system, to collaborate, right? So again, what we've done is we've built plugins that bring the social capabilities into Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, etc. So that way, again, it's just one little thing that is just available for them in the client, and they don't even have to think about it. And the other benefit is that you don't have to create budget for training. You know, usually when you deploy a big app within the enterprise, you have to set aside $5 million just to train employees on how to use this tool, right? So if you just bring it to the tools that they use already, it's just a natural for them. So how do we achieve this integration? How do we take the platform that we have and bring it to the end user? And so one of the things that we're seeing too in the enterprise is that more companies, big and small, are leaning towards adopting open social standards, because when you standardize across a standard, you just leverage the beauty that comes out of it, right? You can reuse, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's probably millions of assets that are already available to you, and all you have to do is take these assets and deploy them, right? And so as we become more and more accustomed to living within apps, because that's how smartphones and tablets are training us to live in, I think it's really an app revolution where social is kind of being broken down into multiple apps that come together into mashups. And again, those apps, the important thing is that they can be surfaced within multiple applications. So let me talk about open social here, and just a quick poll. Anybody familiar with open social? All right, and developers in the crowd? A couple developers, okay. So Dion Hinchcliffe published this on ZDNet a couple of months ago. And so the whole premise of open social is to break down those silos. We don't want to build yet another system where we focus on the new way of collaboration. We really want to make it seamless to the end user so that adoption really takes off, and that way you can capture the benefits a lot quicker. And so with Open Social, it really helps us create applications that are not isolated from each other. So let me go through an example here, and please forgive me, I'm going to get techie, but just for 5 minutes. And
I'll keep him honest on the 5 minutes.
And then we'll go from there. So for Open Social, for those of you who are not aware, Open Social was invented by Google probably 5 years ago, I think, in 2007. And it has backing from tons of companies like Oracle, TIBCO, IBM, etc. And so the idea is to create this standard container so that the gadgets that you create can then be surfaced in multiple places. And so the idea is that you code once, and then it just works everywhere automatically. And so while this was initially targeted at the consumer web, now that companies like Oracle and IBM, of course, are backing it, we're seeing this push kind of come more into the enterprise. And not just for internal social media, but also for the external social media, right? So being able to take the open social gadget from box.net and just quickly deploy it on your portal presence or your social media platform. For those of you who are developers, we actually have a sandbox. The Open Social Foundation has a sandbox that you can get to at a bit.ly OS sandbox. So if you want to play with it. But I think the real power of Open Social was achieved, I think, when Open Social 2.0 was released last summer. So what happened was it got redone, and Open Social now includes multiple standards. So standards like the activity stream that we see in Twitter, OAuth, the standard that you probably use almost every day when you authorize new apps to use your data from Facebook or from Twitter. So all those standards were kind of absorbed and were taken into Open Social. And the idea that we're seeing is that we're kind of combining activity streams with the email inbox. And what I think is happening is we are at a transition point where these two things are coming together, activity streams and your inbox. And I think what's going to happen is that eventually the future of email is going to be social, and activity streams are going to become your new inbox. And so right now we're kind of showing this side by side, but I think that the idea is to eventually replace the inbox and foster a better way to collaborate. And so with Open Social and Activity Streams, another standard that was absorbed last summer is something that we call embedded experiences. And this is actually something that IBM invented and contributed over to Open Social. And the idea is that, as you can see here, there's a YouTube video in your Activity Stream. And you've probably seen this in Twitter and Facebook, right? Somebody posts a YouTube video and you can play it, but you can't comment on it, right? You can comment on it, but the comment stays in Facebook. It doesn't map back to YouTube. And so you can't like it, you can't reshare it forward, etc. So you're kind of using the controls that Facebook provides, but you can't really interact with the YouTube content. So what's happening is that with this new embedded experiences capability, you now click on the YouTube video, and the YouTube video kind of becomes fully embedded with all the YouTube controls that you will want. So you can actually see the comments that have been posted in YouTube, the number of likes, the reshare options, etc. And the idea is that we've seen people use social, and they go back and forth a lot. They go to blogs, they go to wikis, they go to status updates, they go to forums, and it's pretty overwhelming. And so the idea is that we want to create an activity stream where we always keep the user in context, right? So it's just pops up, it's there, it's available, and then when you're done, you continue going through your activity stream. So that's powered by activity streams. The standard is actually activity3.ms, because they do that funky little thing. But the idea is that it's able to absorb events, and not only events from the consumer web, right? So we're now seeing companies like SAP and Sugar CRM and other business intelligent applications actually integrate into the activity stream, push events into the activity stream. And so this is really a shift that we're seeing, because those push notifications that were happening before, they were happening via email, right? So if I wanted to travel from Puerto Rico over to Boston, I had to, you know, go out to my travel application, request travel. Heidi will get an email. She will have to approve it. After my whole travel, do my expenses in yet another system. And then once I do my expenses, another email goes to Heidi. She has to approve it. I think my second line manager has to approve it. So it's very cumbersome, right? So now if we bring this to the activity stream, it's all happening within the same system. And again, I think what this does is it just makes it makes it to a point, or it brings it to a point where the end user doesn't have to think, all right, I have to go to this particular app to do X, Y, C, and I have to go to this other app to do A, B, C, and so forth. So it really creates a very interesting user experience. And I talked about OAuth. I think if you guys don't know what OAuth is, it's just that pop-up that you see every single day when you authorize a new app. So if you downloaded Highlight or one of the new apps that were launched here at South By, it wanted you to authenticate with Facebook. So that's actually using that OAuth standard. And so OAuth is very prominent in the consumer web. And so we're now seeing that being brought over into enterprises. And what used to be something called SSO is now being powered by OAuth, which is a lot more secure and easier to implement. And one of the things that I really enjoy, so I'm a developer at heart before becoming a product manager, and I love coding, and I love creating code. And one of the things that bothered me was having to create code that worked in multiple places, right? Because you want to go for reuse, but if you know one app platform is running a completely different platform than another, it's really hard to achieve that reuse. And so OpenSocial not only lets you create a gadget once and have it displayed anywhere, you know, in any website, but it actually becomes something where the gadget can readjust itself. It can detect whether it's being displayed in an iPad. It can detect whether it's displayed on a small phone screen and readjust itself automagically and then display the content to the end user like it should, right, in a very optimized way. So regardless of, you know, what you want to support, the standard just makes it really easy for you to achieve that. So let me close this particular trend here. So you know, we've talked about the culture, right? How we're seeing this shift in the culture, how we're seeing the tools being deployed to foster this new change in culture from what used to be to a culture of sharing, to the standards or the technologies that really power this transformation. And so Celanis, they created a product called eSign Life, and they do mortgage processing, and a lot of what they do is fax documents for people to sign. What's that?
Somebody. Phone was ringing.
Oh, okay.
It's time for the mobile section.
So sign documents or fax documents to people so they can sign them, and this usually happens 3 or 4 times, right? So if any of you has refinanced or gotten a mortgage recently, you know how cumbersome that is. So what they did was they created an OpenSocial gadget, and they went after these embedded experiences so that things that used to take 6-7 clicks now happens in one click, right, within your email. If you have an email that supports OpenSocial, you know, the document becomes live within the email. You click it, and you don't have to even reply or anything. It's just it just happens. And they were actually able to measure $35,000 in additional revenue because they were able to process more mortgages per month. So definitely consider standards. Don't set them apart. Standards are really going to maximize your ROI. They're going to really help you achieve, completeness faster. And it's really going to help you socially enable the existing applications that you have. Don't throw the apps that you're already using. Just enable them to be social. And so the standards really make that easy. And so what this is going to do eventually is it's going to help the entire company accelerate innovation and leverage the innovation that's already happening in the consumer web, right? So I mentioned the Box.net OpenSocial gadget. You know, take that and use that if you want to within the enterprise. And so there's many standards here. I just covered, you know, some of the new ones that were released in the summer of 2011. Because I thought that would be relevant for the South By audience. And so we've talked a lot about mobile. So, Heidi.
Thanks, Luis. So the fourth trend, and it sort of feeds off of some of the things Luis was talking about relative to open standards, is really the mobile devices. And one of the things that he alluded to is that, you know, many of us who've been in companies of sizes, again, doesn't matter, but you always sort of had the dictation from IT, you shall use this device, and it is, you know, approved. What we're really starting to see is our friends in IT are really losing a bit of that control with these bring your own devices to work kind of concepts. And what we're really finding out is that, you know, if they really do allow their employees to bring these types of devices, they're going to be more productive at work. And so what we're really starting to see is IT is really having to factor in what to do with all these different types of devices. It's no longer sort of a single vendor mobile solution these days. These are a couple of stats that really back up this trend. I don't think I need to explain to this audience about the importance of mobile, but again, in completeness, we wanted to just kind of give you some data points. I think the one that probably jumps out to all of us is the first one. I mean, the explosion in the amount of these mobile-type devices that have actually outsold PCs. And Apple's a great example. I mean, everyone's been reading about the new iPad and their quotes around their acceleration of the usage. The real key thing, I think, that all of us are really seeing is that, and it's indicative of us here at this conference, we can get a lot of things done on these small devices these days. These devices have come a long way. And really, it translates into people are demanding to be able to use that, whether they're in their consumer-based tools and sharing things with their friends and families, or if they want to go and use this in corporate work that they do every day. So we do see it obviously trending very high in the social space specifically. And I think what you're going to start to see is this is going to be the new wave, if you haven't already seen the results of it in your own organization. Now, no tomato throwing, because I know everybody in this audience, I am like the norm. I'm the Android user, not the iOS user. I do have a tablet, but this was a data point. So what we did see is that when we were talking about application development platforms and devices, the interesting part is we captured this data not too long ago. I think if you look at it now, today, a week and a half later, you're going to see these numbers trending even higher. I think the takeaway here is that, you know, the leads are no longer those vendors you would have seen in the past. No slam to my friends at RIM, but you don't see BlackBerry at the top of the list anymore. You see these open devices that are integrating things and allowing these applications to behave in a manner that you can really get things done. And you can develop once, as Luis talked about, and you can port these now over to a multitude of applications. With people now pushing their companies to, if I want to use my Android and Luis wants to use his iPhone, we should have that choice. It's a personal choice. And so now IT needs to be able to support us. And oh, by the way, we want to bring our tablets because there are some cases where that works best for us. So I think what's really interesting is that this landscape is really starting to shift. Two quick examples, and not to belabor the point, I mean, Luis sort of talked about this. We're a great test bed. You know, we're a large company, so it's interesting when people talk to us because we're not all cookie cutter. And so what's interesting is that as big as we are, we're pretty agile in making some changes when it comes to technology and hardware and software. And so this is actually a snapshot of the variation of mobile devices that sit in our organization today. And again, we have a large community of users. What's really interesting is if you look at the usage of iPads, iPhones, and Androids are moving up, our traditional corporate standard has shifted. And so this is not something that is just unique to us. And in fact, we've actually seen this with another customer of ours, which is Colgate. They actually instituted the official bring your own device to work. And what they did is they were able to map this to savings. So a lot of things, when you think about social and implementing, try to come up with the scenarios. Everyone likes to use the word use cases. But come up with something that's really going to help your organization understand how you're going to use this. And then when you think about it inside, outside, and on these devices, try to think about how you want to characterize your savings. You know, this is really where you get the buy-in and things of that nature. Just from the bring your own device at work option with Colgate, they were able to realize a savings of about $1 million because they were no longer providing these phones, But by opening up the ability to support a variation, the employees bought their own phones and brought them in. So if they provide the infrastructure that allows them to do that, they're going to save a whole lot more money. And they're going to be able to have people be happier with their devices, too. So a couple of recommendations, and again, this audience, I don't need to sort of belabor this point, but design with mobile in mind. We went to another session here the other day at the conference, and it was really focused on just that, is everyone sees opportunities within the mobile space. Solo-mo is the next new key phrase that everyone loves to talk about. But it really is important. Try to figure out what you can get with these mobile applications. What can you do with these smartphones? You can find where people are. You can link people together. People that are in separate locations, you can use smarts within the technology to tell them why they should be talking to each other if they're not talking to each other. And there's lots of opportunity here. This is really one of the major emerging trends we see as a major sweet spot, irrespective of social or no social, but I think social is really helping to drive this. Consider embracing the type of plan with bring your own device. I think you'll see employees that are happier. I think they'll be taking on some of the costs that the organization didn't have to worry about, like we saw with Colgate. And I think you'll start to see some real rapid results here. Now, when we do talk about social, because we are talking about those trends, when you are looking at a specific set of technologies you want to use in the social space, make sure it's got a mobile lens to it. Don't go implementing something that can only be used on your machine in your organization. Everyone needs to have anytime, anywhere access to this stuff. So, again, think about that when you're looking at it. And keep in mind how you can create some of these ROI characteristics associated with it, because that'll help you keep on check with what's working and what's not. So to sort of wrap this all up in the last trend, this is... You're supposed to be here, Louise.
I was tweeting.
Imagine I had a... He's got it on his machine. I'm driving, trying to respond, but I can't do it so fast.
All right, so let's go. So... we've wrapped this. Let's wrap this together, right? So we've talked about changing the culture, deploying this internally, and you know, focusing on mobile and open standards to really accelerate and achieve ROI. But how are companies actually seeing value? And I've actually seen a couple of questions. You know, do you have more ROI examples? So I'll share those via Twitter because we're running out of time here. But we did a study about 18 months ago, and we asked companies. That were standout companies, you know, companies that were beating their competition in their particular industry, are you guys using social? And what we found was that 57% of those companies that we considered standout organizations were actually letting their employees use social, both, you know, inside the firewall and outside the firewall. So I think that's very powerful. And to further back this up, McKinsey did a study last year, I believe, too, where 90% of organizations that use Web 2.0 technologies are seeing higher revenues, lower costs of doing business, just by bringing these technologies and letting their employees participate in this technology. I see a lot of companies where, you know, they block Facebook, they block Twitter, they may only allow certain things to happen internally, but really what we see is, you know, companies that really allow their employees to become the voice and be really engaged with their customers and business partners, ISVs, whatever the case may be, are really the companies that are becoming really successful at becoming a true social business. And because they're letting employees use all of these tools, we see massive amounts of data being created. So let's talk a little bit about that. In fact, we did a study. You know, we're all about studies and really understanding the market and what's happening out there. And we found out that 90% of the world's data has been created in the last 2 years. So try to conceptualize that, right? So, you know, we've been around for how many thousands of years? And so 90% of the world's data has been created in the last 2 years. So how do we manage that data that some people call big data? Heidi?
So one of the things you want to keep in mind when you see this trend is that you want to look at tools that are going to augment your social platform and take you that one step further. And that's really where you're going to get into things like social media monitoring. It's not just being able to have a vehicle where you can blog or you can have a community or you can create a wiki. What you want to be able to do is you want to be able to capture and watch that data. And what you want to watch and monitor for is look what's working, what's not working. This will also give you a great way to help, again, sort of cultivate new ideas. But when they get generated from there, you want to monitor that, but you also want to make sure you're executing on those. So you want to take these tools, and you want to keep these tools in mind where you can have that augmentation to sort of take you and prepare you for the next level once you've got everybody sort of communicating and networking together. Now what are you going to do, and how are some of the things you want to watch to, again, sort of see what's working? The piece that is my favorite that kind of goes with this, so is really analytics. And analytics is something that's really changing the face of what we're doing, especially in the social space. Because what technology can do now, and speaking from my own experience with the tools we use analytics in a way that is new. And we can help map people to information. We can help map them to things that are of interest to them based on understanding who's in their network, who are the people that they communicate with, what's the content that they tag, what are they rating. Technology is getting a whole lot smarter, and it will take a lot of the buzz, a lot of the hard work out of sifting through all that big data. As Luis mentioned, if there's so much data out there, you really need now these tools to take it to the next level. We can sit here and analyze till 7 ways to sundown, but what you don't have is the luxury of time. If we all had the luxury of time, my data and my analysis would be fabulous, but I don't, right? So I need to be able to go out there and have these tools help me see what's going on, get a grasp of it, and help me make a business decision based upon it. And I think this is where you're really going to see this trend take off. Analytics is sort of the new secret sauce when it comes to social, in my opinion. So definitely be looking at tools that are going to be taking advantage of that. Because I think that's really where you're going to gain a whole lot of value. The other thing is, while we talked about internal usage, and it's a great starting point, and many of us here have already sort of moved beyond that, but try not to forget and try not to keep these two as two distinct pieces of teams or tools. You know, make sure you have ways in which the technology that you're looking at can actually bridge those things together, right? Don't keep things just inside. Don't keep things just outside. Have a mechanism that you can have that flow of communication going full circle. And this is really where you'll start to see, again, your employees and the way they react when they're working with customers outside the organization. And the information you can grab outside is really going to start to help you be much more competitive because you're learning about your competition, your company is being able to have a voice, and you're getting much closer to the information you need to sort of, again, at the end of the day, we're trying to really help everybody create a better business that they're in and help them worry about, not help them increase their revenue that they're seeing. So the last example to sort of round out this particular trend, and this one has a whopping savings. So we save this one. This is our friends in DeveloperWorks. So what we did is we utilized some of our IBM social tools to bring together our developer community. This community typically would have been folks that would have been calling into our organization around the world globally. And what we did is we put these social tools in place. They feed off each other. They help answer questions. The community is the hub of all the data and information. It has saved us over $100 million alone in support costs. So I guess that's the takeaway here and the big bang at the end is there are real considerable ROI savings that you can really utilize with some of these tools. You just have to figure out sort of what's in it for you, what's specific to your business, and you can start even something as small as solving a product support scenario. So when I talked about social being flexible, being both good and bad, this is where you have to take that creative step in talking to customers and clients about, well, what is your business? You really need to learn about what they're doing, and then you can map some of these technologies and techniques to really help them move to that next level.
We have 10 seconds.
All right. Recommendations, I said them all. I'm actually only one slide fast. This is my favorite. If you leave with nothing, here's your final points. Executives are ready for a transformation, so grab them. The other thing is that, you know, inside your organization is a great test bed, but don't stop there. Think about supporting standards. It will help with your ROI. Mobile, don't forget it. And last but not least, if you're not doing it, go do it. So use social tools and change the world. So with that, we will formally close, and we thank you very much for your time and attention.